Well, in this hour, I normally started off with Rip from the headlines, and normally we'd have talk radio news service later in the hour. But somebody I haven't been able to talk to for like a month because he was away. He's a good friend of mine and of the program. One of the few people I trust with this baby if I have an emergency or have to be out of town. I wanted him the whole hour. And we have two very big and important issues to talk about. He, and you know him quite well and love him as I do, Mark Levin, a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He currently hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM, and that's inside the Beltway. He also frequently appears on Fox, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Biz, and CNBC. He's tangled with everyone from Bill O'Reilly on the right to his Pacifica co-host on the left, and me sometimes, and who knows, in the second half of this hour that might happen today. Hey, we will see. Mark, I've missed you. Hey, how you doing? Happy hump day, buddy.
Hey, Leslie, I'm doing good. And we may well tangle. We'll find out.
We will find out. But I know one thing we want to tangle on and one thing I have a lot of questions on. And I want to be very clear. In addition to being a progressive liberal Democrat, in addition to being an attorney, Mark is also a gay man. And he also has been a huge part of this victory on same-sex marriage. But is it a victory entirely? Now, we'll talk about that. We talked about earlier this week the High Court refusing to rule on Monday when the Supreme Court of the United States cleared the way for legal same-sex marriages in five more states. Now, Mark, first of all, briefly, tell some folks about your background and how long a battle this has been for you and for others that have worked with you on this.
Well, I'm one of the founders of one of the earliest marriage equality organizations in the country, Marriage Equality California. There were four of us founded that organization in 1999. At the time we founded it, we were fighting Proposition 22, which is the older proposition. People don't even remember it in California. At the time, polls in California, which is a pretty liberal state, we're running more than 60% against us. And in fact, the No on 22 movement, which I was originally on the board of, to stop banning same-sex marriage, said that it was too controversial to actually put real gay couples and real lesbian couples on television. They thought that they shouldn't do that. They should just, that was too much to show a gay or lesbian couple with a child. I actually resigned from the No on 22 board because I felt that not showing real-life people on the air would not help gay and lesbian couples and form Marriage Equality California. That was 15 years ago, which seems like generations ago in gay rights. Also wrote the very first law in the country that was bill because it was introduced. It didn't become law. But the very first bill in the country to get full marriage equality, also when I lived in California. And that bill was considered so radical that not only did the gay and lesbian assembly members of the state of California oppose it, but Lambda Legal Defense Fund, which purportedly stands up for gay and lesbian rights, opposed it. They said marriage was way too controversial, and maybe we could get domestic partnerships and a few rights. Fast forward 15 years, what everyone told us was impossible, even gay leadership, is now considered so mundane, so obvious, that the United States Supreme Court has basically said, all right, fine, go ahead. It's an amazing transition, and it happened only because of grassroots movements like the ones that I was involved in, like were involved all across the country, Valentine's Day protests, and basically activists working in every one of the 50 states in D.C. to get this thing accomplished. And it's an amazing, amazing transition.
No, it absolutely is. Now let's talk about what happened, okay? Let's talk about specifically what the court did by not ruling. But first, let me ask you, because you are a gay man, and obviously you want, as I do, as a straight woman, equal rights for people, regardless of their sexual orientation, and the ability for gay men and lesbian women to marry in all 50 states. And before we talk about what the Supreme Court refusing to rule has done, I don't know what that music is. Anyway, before we talk about the U.S. Supreme Court, in refusing to rule on Monday, what that cleared the way for, tell me, Mark, is it a victory 100% for you as a gay man and those in the gay community that maybe you've been talking with this week? Is it truly a victory without the spoken word? I mean, don't you need or do you need the Supreme Court to say, look, these bans on same-sex marriage are unconstitutional, rather than a sense pass the buck or with their silence allow things to go into motion?
I don't think so. I was actually extremely pleased by the ruling. In fact, you may recall on your show, I predicted that it would be in all 50 states by June of next year. I would argue that if anything, I was being pessimistic. At this point, I think it may happen by the end of this year. And the reason is this. Every single lower court, every single appellate court has ruled that, at least every appellate court has ruled that same-sex marriage bans on allowing gay and lesbian people to marry are unconstitutional. There was one tiny lower court in Louisiana that went the other way, but the Fifth Circuit, which oversees Louisiana, hasn't ruled yet. The point is this. The Supreme Court, and I say this as a constitutional attorney, traditionally doesn't take a case unless there's a disagreement, unless there's a conflict, unless the circuit courts of appeal, which are the highest judicial branches of government underneath the Supreme Court, unless they disagree. If everybody across the country agrees that it is unconstitutional to deny equal protection, to deny marriage equality to gay and lesbian couples, then there's no reason for the Supreme Court to step in. If anything, it's a sign that this thing is so clear, so obvious, that they don't even need to rule on it. And that's what's so exciting about this ruling. So immediately my home state of Virginia, already on Monday, had its first legal marriages for gay and lesbian couples. The other four states involved, including some very conservative states like Utah and Oklahoma, they're following suit. Another five states are going to have to follow suit, including South Carolina and Wyoming. I mean, these are not blue states. At that point, by the end of the year, it will be in 30 states across the country. And then the Ninth and the Sixth Circuits, I think, will certainly the Ninth Circuit will come on board. That's the whole West. If a circuit court of appeal, and the only ones that really could do it would be the 5th, 6th, or the 11th, which are mostly the Midwest and Deep South, if any of those states, those circuits, were to then rule that it's okay to discriminate against gay and lesbian people, then the Supreme Court, I'm confident, will come in and overturn that. I think they're going to be afraid of that. And because they're going to be afraid of that, and judges don't like to get reversed, at this point, we may not need a Supreme Court to interfere, and that's even better. Because sometimes the best way to win civil rights victories is not with a bang, but with a whimper, with the recognition that there's really nothing to argue about here, and it actually keeps everybody calm, and state by state, we're getting equality. I'm very pleased with the ruling.
Okay, so the silence doesn't bother you. So the court did on Monday, as we had discussed earlier this week, refuse to hear cases from the states Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Now, we've talked about this before because some people might go, Virginia? That's so close to D.C. Virginia, it's so blue. But no, just in northern Virginia, and the majority of the central and southern part are pretty red or redneck, if you will. We shouldn't be surprised to see Virginia. But obviously, now that's another thing. Hypothetically, I mean, Indiana, Oklahoma, Utah, Virginia, Wisconsin, you know, their same-sex marriage bans, they've, in a sense, you know, not, even though they had chosen to keep them in place, aren't going to be keeping them in place because Virginia's issued a marriage license. Are all five of those states changing? I know Utah is.
Yes,
I know Virginia is. Immediately. Okay, now, and we know that people were applying for marriage licenses in hours after the Supreme Court decision. But
Indiana and Wisconsin as well, and Oklahoma, if it's not doing it Monday, will be doing it this week.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the other states and the six more states, Colorado, North Carolina, South Carolina, Kansas, West Virginia, Wyoming, some of those very southern.
All of those have to do it within a month.
Okay, within 30 days. Okay.
I think so. I mean, the way it happens, it's a little technical. Basically, someone will go into Charleston, South Carolina, and seek to get married. There actually is a case in South Carolina. I just picked that because it's one of the redder of the remaining states. And what will happen is the judge, they're all pending in all these states. Every state has a pending case. And what will happen is they'll file a motion with the judge, probably a summary judgment motion because there really aren't any facts in dispute. And the judge will see what the Fourth Circuit has ruled. The Fourth Circuit controls South Carolina, and the judge will say, well, it's settled precedent now. Here's my order. It might take
if any one or more of these Midwestern Southern Circuit courts do not rule in line with the Ninth and the rest, what does that do to the marriages in the states which are under those specific circuit courts?
Okay, so let's deal with this.
Okay, answer me after the break. We'll take a break. We'll take a break and answer so that you can give that. Okay, you follow my question there, right? And I think everybody else does. It's what if it doesn't go the way everybody's predicting and people are already starting to get married in some states? What happens then? What happens to those marriages? We'll be back with my buddy and yours, Mark Levine. We're talking about two very significant issues today. You can always join us at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. That is our number. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. Follow me there at Leslie Marshall. And his website, marklevinetalk.com. Quick break, back to him and you right after this. Hey there, America. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome, welcome back. We welcome back Mark Levine, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank in the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He also hosts the Washington-based radio television talk show, The Inside Scoop, and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio. Mark, talking about this Supreme Court ruling and what they've cleared the way for, before the break, I asked you, what if one of the courts doesn't follow suit, or one or more? Does that prevent gay men and lesbian women in certain states from getting married? And what does it do to those who already have licenses in other states?
Okay, so I think the easiest way to answer this question is to go state by state throughout the country. And I'm going to divide the country into its 11 judicial circuits. The D.C. has judicial circuit as well. D.C. has marriage equality. Let's leave
and you can do this in 4.5 to 5 minutes.
I'm going to do it. Yes,
okay, all right.
The first, second, and third circuits are all in the northeast of the country. They all have marriage equality, not at issue. That leaves 4th through 11th. The 4th, 7th, and 10th were all ruled by the U.S. Supreme Court declining to take their cases. All of them must have marriage equality. Between those states and the states that already have it, that's the 30 states. In those states, and that's where I include states like South Carolina, Wyoming, if a couple tries to get married and the state puts a barrier in, a judge will quickly rule that that's against precedent. And the judge, if you had a crazy judge disagree, then the 4th, 7th, or 10th circuits would immediately issue what's called a writ of mandamus. In those 30 states, by the end of the year, I'm very confident will be marriage equality. Okay, that leaves 5 circuits left. That's the 5th, 6th, 8th, 9th, and 11th for those keeping score. The 9th is a very liberal district. It's in the west, centered in California. I'm confident that will rule by end of the year. That leaves 5th, 6th, 8th, and 11th. The 6th and any of those circuits could conceivably rule in the other direction because the Supreme Court's decision on Monday is not technically precedent for those circuits. They have two choices. Either they can fall in line with the other circuits, rule for marriage equality, and all those people will have it. And those decisions should come quickly. I expect at least 5th, 6th, and 9th by the end of this year, 8th and 11th by next year. If they rule along with everyone else, all's well and good. If they disagree, if they rule in the other direction, then it's true that the gay and lesbian people in some of those states, and some of those states, by the way, already have marriage equality. Minnesota and Iowa, for example, are in the 8th judicial district, but they already have marriage equality. But in those states that still don't, Texas, Mississippi, Louisiana, if they were to rule in the other direction, then I'm quite confident the Supreme Court would take the case and would rule in favor of marriage equality. And I'm even more confident of that than I was a year ago when I told you they would do this, because the Supreme Court will never invalidate the marriages that have already happened. Politically, judicially, they're not going to say, all right, gay couples, you're suddenly divorced. They would not have allowed what happened Monday to go through if they weren't ultimately on the side of marriage equality. So either the appellate courts will step in line. If they don't, then it will go up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will have to rule, and then we'll have it nationwide at that moment. In any event, I suspect by the end of 2015 and possibly by the end of this year, it'll be in all 50 states. Damn,
all right.
4 minutes. How'd I do?
You did. Wow, you did very well. Very well. As a matter of fact, you did it in a couple of minutes. This will bring it up to the number 30. How long do you think it'll take all 50 to come on board first? And second, what will the homophobic, this is their number one issue, go after next?
Well, I do think by the end of 2015 and possibly by the end of this year, I suspect it will go up to about 40 by the end of this year. And I don't think that's being I think that's actually a conservative estimate. It could be higher than that. But let's say 40 by the end of this year, all 50 by the end of next year. And, you know, the homophobes will look, the same people that don't like gay people don't want women to have easy access to an abortion. That issue will definitely continue. They'll want to deny contraception to women and particularly to girls. It's the same kinds of people, and they're not going to go away. They still exist. What we find with gay rights, with women's rights, it's a generational thing, and that even young people, even in Alabama, even in Mississippi, are coming to recognize it's no big deal if gay and lesbian couples can get married. So I think it's going to be like, you know, black and white marriages. They were vastly opposed by most white people, and even probably a good chunk of black people in the 1960s. Today, you'll find maybe 10% still oppose them. You think they should be illegal? I'm not saying it'll go away, just like opposition to black-white marriages hasn't gone away, but it's already at about 40%. It'll gradually decline to 10 or 20% within a decade.
Awesome. We're going to take a break when we come back. Two liberals fight, and two liberals here may agree or disagree. Stay tuned. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. More after this. And we're back. I'm Leslie Marshall. He is Mark Levine, former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, currently hosting the Washington-based radio television talk show The Inside Scoop and the Ruckus Caucus on Pacifica Radio, WPFW 89.3 FM. Mark, the other night, there was a conflict between two liberals, and Republicans sit back and love it, especially before a midterm election in November. But in this, it was on Bill Maher's show, and Ben Affleck slammed him. He said that Bill Maher, he was referring to something Bill Maher said as being an anti-Muslim sentiment and gross and racist. But rather than you and I say it, let's hear what everybody is talking about in Twitter land, at least this week, regarding this exchange between two liberals, Ben Affleck and Bill Maher. And by the way, when Bill O'Reilly agrees with, and the conservatives that I've debated on Fox News Channel this week agree with Bill Maher, that I'm kind of thinking I gotta be on Ben's side of this. I don't know. Let's see and listen to Ben Affleck on the Bill Maher show on HBO.
The thing we want to talk about, of course, is that you and I have been trying to make the case, I think, I have anyway, that liberals need to stand up for liberal principles. This is what I said on last week's show. Obviously, I got a lot of hate for it. But all I'm saying is that liberal principles like freedom of speech, freedom to practice any religion you want without fear of violence, freedom to leave a religion, equality for women, equality for minorities, including homosexuals. These are liberal principles that liberals applaud for. But then when you say in the Muslim world, this is what's lacking, then they get upset.
Yeah. Well, liberals have really failed on the topic of theocracy. They'll criticize white theocracy. They'll criticize Christians. They'll still get agitated over the abortion clinic bombing that happened in 1984. But when you want to talk about the treatment of women and homosexuals and free thinkers and public intellectuals in the Muslim world, I would argue that liberals have failed us. And the crucial point of confusion... thank you.
Thank God you're here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the crucial point of confusion is that we have been sold this meme of Islamophobia, where every criticism of the doctrine of Islam gets conflated with bigotry toward Muslims as people.
Right.
And that is it's intellectually ridiculous. Even it gets
conflated
with racism.
So hold on. Are you the person who understands the officially codified doctrine of Islam? You're the interpreter
I'm actually well educated on this topic.
I'm asking you. You're saying that Islamophobia is not a real thing. That if you're critical of something.
It's not a real thing when we do it.
Right.
I'm not denying that certain people are bigoted against Muslims as people.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Big of you.
But the
But why are you so hostile about this?
It's gross. It's racist.
It's not. It's but it's so not.
It's so. It's like saying those
you're
shifty Jew.
You're not listening to what we are saying.
You guys are saying if you want to be liberals, believe in liberal principles like freedom of speech, like you know, we are endowed by our forefathers with an inalienable right. All men are created equal.
No, Ben, we have to be able to criticize bad ideas.
And of course we do. No liberal doesn't want to criticize bad ideas.
But Islam at this moment is the mother load of bad ideas.
Jesus.
So we have
that's
ideas
just a
like glass to me.
It's an ugly
apostasy.
It is basic liberal principle of tolerance.
Let me unpack it.
But not for intolerance.
No, of course not. But the picture you're painting is, to some extent, true, but is hugely incomplete. It is certainly true that plenty of fanatics and jihadis are Muslim. But the people who are standing up to them, Malala, incredible Muhammad Ali Dadak in Iran, in prison for 9 years for speaking up for Christians. A friend that I had in Pakistan who was shot this year, Rashid Rahman, for defending people accused of apostasy.
But how about the more than a billion people who aren't fanatical, who don't punish women, who just want to go to school?
Okay, wait a second.
Don't do any of the things you're saying all Muslims.
Wait a second.
And you're painting the whole group religion with that.
Wow. Okay. Now
it does bear watching the clip because Sam Harris and Nicholas Kristof are in there as well, and it's a little difficult, I think, when we're talking over everyone to hear exactly who's making which point.
Yes. But you know, basically, it was a 10-minute exchange. We're not going to play all 10 minutes because I want to be able to talk to you about this. This is on Real Time, Bill Maher's show on HBO. You did mention Sam Harris, Ben Affleck, who is an actor, as we know, and he slammed Bill Maher's comment that Islam is the only religion that acts like the mafia. Let's talk about this, okay? Because, you know, first of all, there's you know, the Catholics don't love the gays. The Orthodox Jews don't love the gays. Even a lot of the conservative Jews don't love the gays. And, you know, certainly Muslims don't. And, you know, I think, especially Bill Maher, you know, is Bill Maher Jewish? I'm not sure if he is.
No,
he's Irish, right?
Yeah.
But I think what I see as a liberal and a woman who has lived in Muslim countries, visited Muslim countries, married into a Muslim family, read the Quran cover to cover, as well as the Torah and the rest of the Bible, the Old and New Testament. First of all, just taking the religions, there's great violence in religions. And every religion has tried with violence to push their religion on other people. That's history. That's not my opinion. That's fact. Now, the fact that it's happening now in 2014 is not the ISIS doesn't want you to convert, although they will say that to Christians in Iraq. They're equal opportunity beheaders. I mean, they have beheaded two American journalists. They have beheaded one British journalist, one British aid worker, but they've beheaded other people that we don't hear about because we Americans only care about ourselves and Brits. They beheaded two.
They beheaded more Muslims than any other religion.
Correct. They beheaded Muslims in Iraq, Muslims in Syria, Christians, and they also beheaded two Jordanian journalists who nobody wants to talk about or hear about.
And Yazidis as well.
Right. So, you know, I get what Bill Maher is saying, okay? And you and I had talked off the air, and we'll get to it, about a Pew Research poll that was done. When I talked about this this week on Fox News Channel, one thing they brought up was a woman who has dual citizenship in Iran and the United States is in jail because, you know, she tried to go to, you know, a sporting event, a male sporting event. Here's the problem that I have, Mark, as an American and somebody who's married into a Muslim family and somebody who has lived in Muslim countries, like I said, and visited them. One, ISIS, for as big as they seem and as fast as they are growing, the perception of their size is not the reality of their size, one, two. And with that being said, they are such a small minority segment of those who claim to be Muslim. I don't think anybody can be a Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, and kill anybody because all of the big three believe in the Ten Commandments. However, I don't know any religion that, like the president said, there is no God that condones this. And I would agree with that statement. Not that I'm God's spokesperson, believe me, far from it. But what bothers me is the huge, 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 huge hypocrisy. For example, in the Bible, judge not lest ye be judged. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies in the New Testament. So. And then, of course, that the vengeance belongs to who? God. and to trust God. Hell, we have it on our dollar bill. Boy, we're really good at putting all those sound bites out there, but certainly not following through or following them. Because even liberals who I pride myself on being a part of the group of, who should be so non-judgmental or extremely judgmental, is the way they treat women terrible? Yes. Excuse me. Men and women here were like, oh, Rice punched out his fiance. Big deal. She hit him first. NFL ticket sales went up. NFL viewership went up. One woman, a woman is smacked around every 6 seconds in the United States. That's what we've accepted. And those numbers are worse today than they were before. So as a woman, when we look at people go, oh, Islam treats women terrible. Oh, please. Plenty of religions. Talk to some of the Orthodox Jewish community. Plenty of religions treat women terribly. Hell, plenty of countries treat women terribly, including our own. And what bothers, I'm on Team Ben with this, because I do feel that, you know, Bill Maher saying we should be, you know, good liberals and call everything out. Really, we should also be good liberals. And like I saw on the news with regard to Israel and the Palestinians, and stand up for injustice. And I think it's an injustice when liberals aren't screaming out about billboards on buses and subways in New York, and when there are people in our country and throughout the world that are trying to act like Hitler did with the Jews and spread misinformation about a religion and the millions of people that practice it.
Wow. Well, I have a lot to comment on that.
Good. Go.
And I tend to fall on the Bill Maher side of the debate, as I think you thought I would. Look, I would say that virtually every religion has a more tolerant, more liberal, more modern, if you will, more reformist-minded, peaceful way of looking at it, and a more orthodox, more fundamentalist, more anti-woman, more homophobic way of looking at it. And that's certainly true in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. I do think that any conservative who stupidly says all Muslims or even the Muslim world or Islam as if it is one 100% indivisible religion is silly and stupid and overstating the case. I also think that liberals that say that there's no reason to fear Islam or Islamophobia there's nothing wrong with Islam in general, I also think they're wrong, because we know that there are people using the Islamic faith in extremist awful
ways.
See,
that's a big difference from what you just said is not what you mean. Because, you know, ISIS are not Muslims any more than Mormons would say that the people who are living dressed with the long braid like they're in Little House on the Prairie are Mormons who have 50 wives and who are having sex with 13-year-olds.
What was the Spanish Inquisition? Was that done by the Catholic Church? I think it was. Now,
absolutely.
Today,
absolutely.
Okay,
with all
today,
the, we're all of the Nazi.
But they will say that's not Catholic behavior.
Yeah, but it's not. But no, you can't. To me, it doesn't mean all Catholics are this. And that's where we get into the dangerous, slippery slope with Islam.
But that's my point.
But this is not Islam. It's what they practice in what the government imposes in Iran is not Islam. What the government proposes in Saudi Arabia is not Islam. It's even called Wahhabism.
Okay, but the jihadists would disagree with you, Leslie, and say you're not preaching Islam. They are. My point is, there's more than one version of Islam. Like, there's more than one version of Christianity.
But that's not what we're saying. Nope, that's not what people are saying. People are saying, the problem is Islam. Muslims believe this. This is what the Quran says, pulling things completely out of context, not reading it in context, which changes the meaning greatly.
I would argue the problem is too many Muslims believe XYZ. And that's the problem. Obviously, when you say all Islam.
But they can't be Muslim. That's what I'm saying. Do you understand? Do you understand? They can't be Muslim. They're murderers. They're terrorists. They believe in murder.
You don't define Islam any more than Ben Affleck, any more than ISIS does. There are peaceful, wonderful Muslims all over the globe.
But that is not the message that is being sent when two liberals are fighting each other over this issue. And demonizing to demonize a religion is scary. And if you've learned nothing from the Holocaust, we learned that.
The point is that you can disagree with an idea without demonizing a people.
Why was it wrong? Why is anti-Semitism wrong, but Islamophobia, somewhat okay and palatable?
If you want to disagree with Orthodox Judaism and separating men and women, that's perfectly okay, and I'm going to agree with you. If you want to disagree with Orthodox Judaism not allowing gay people to marry, you know I'm going to agree with you. If you want to burn and kill all Orthodox Jews, all right, I got a problem with that. There's a difference between saying jihadism is wrong, that the Islamophobe—listen, in each, this is why one thing Bill Maher said I looked up because I didn't believe it was true. 91% of Egyptian women practice female genital mutilation. It's 98% in Somalia. In Arab countries, particularly in, according to the polls that I sent you, in Egypt, Pakistan, Afghanistan.
Yeah, but that is nothing. Wait a minute. That is nothing. And I can tell you this, and I'll give you the stats on this, because I know a lot more, no offense, having a vagina about female mutilation. Genital mutilation is practiced in many non-Muslim countries, especially in the continent of Africa. So that doesn't have to do with Islam. Now, I know what you're saying about Egyptian women, but remember, Egypt is part of Africa. And that is a continental issue within Africa. Genital mutilation, there is nothing about genital mutilation in the Quran. Look it up. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. If you find it and you won't, tell me. But that genital mutilation is actually just, you know, sexism on crack, if you will. And many women who have bought into this for decades, centuries perhaps. We'll be back with my buddy Mark Levine and you right after this. Don't go away. We are back. I'm Leslie Marshall. He's Mark Levine. We're talking about an exchange between Ben Affleck and Bill Maher, but they got nothing on us, right? And our exchange. Welcome back to the show. Okay, Mark, so we were saying, because we had to go to break, so go ahead. I cut you off and didn't mean to.
Here's my point. I think all religions have a more extremist and tolerant element and a more peaceful secular element. Certainly Islam does, as does Christianity and Judaism. And in some countries, Indonesia and Turkey come to mind, Islam is an extremely peaceful religion, and there's virtually no problems there. In other countries, like the ones I sent you, Leslie, you'll find that a majority, and in some cases, three-quarters of the people in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Gaza and the West Bank, and in Egypt, support murdering a woman for adultery and support murdering people who leave the Islamic faith. That's not 5%. That's not 10%. That's a majority of the populaces. So the answer is that, no, you can't speak of Islam writ large, just like you can't speak of Christianity.
Wait. I want to get to that, okay? Again, if you have not lived in a Muslim country, you don't understand. And I'm not condoning honor killing. But what I'm saying is, I'll give you an example. Some of the women that I met in other countries I've lived in, and I lived in Pakistan as an example, and they cover themselves with a black, what we call a burqa. Okay, they don't call it that, by the way. And I asked them, and they explained to me that for them to wear a pair of jeans is as odd to them as for me to wear what they're wearing, because they have seen this and it's a part of their life. Let me finish. The reason that stoning, death by stoning, is readily accepted in these societies is because, again, and I've said this on television this week, we as Americans look at things with an American lens because we are Americans. We're Western. We're free. We do not understand these cultures or countries. If you have not visited or lived there, even more so. Now, it doesn't make me an expert on all of it, but I can tell you this. The majority of people in these countries are poor. They don't have cell phones, they don't have televisions, they don't have computers. They don't see the progress of the world. And the governments of these countries do quite well in keeping these people oppressed. They are taught to shut their mouths. Bill O'Reilly said, why aren't the Afghan people fighting against the Taliban? With what? With what? The Taliban of weapons, the Taliban of money, and the Taliban are mean. They're the bullies, if you will. Why is it in a school there are children that will cower and children that will bully? The Taliban, ISIS, these are bullies, but very bad bullies who will murder, who will behead, who have weapons, who have money to buy more. But the overwhelming majority of the people in these countries fear these elements. So part of what they answer is based on fear of the government finding out that they don't agree with the government or the military. Okay, so I don't consider these polls by Pew Research, the same as if they were polling Westernized
all
nations
true.
Where people have freedoms. Okay. The other thing is, my husband and I have not has been to Saudi Arabia, and he's been there a few times. His family's, you know, Muslim. They went for, you know, Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, and he said it's mind blowing to walk through malls, jewelry stores, whatever, and they're wide open. The doors, the windows, when they're open, when they're closed, they're open. Bars and stacks of gold, money in banks. Nobody touches it because you will lose a finger. You will lose a hand. You will lose a head. You will be beheaded. So in addition to the fact this is something that they have grown up with for generations. They fear retaliating. And by the way, for them, it works.
Here's the thing, Leslie. What Bill Maher is saying is we liberals are quick to condemn violence against women. We're quick to condemn denying gay people rights. Women can't vote in Saudi Arabia. They can't drive in Saudi Arabia. And, yes, many are beaten and killed in honor killings. The point is, I think as a liberal, we are required to call out injustice wherever it occurs, not just the United States, but in the rest of the world. And I would dare say that slavery was also the way of practice in the United States and across the Western world for many generations. People argued it was their way of life.
And how many plantation owners? Right. And how many plantation owners went to church on Sunday, worshipped God and Jesus, gave money to the little old lady, and lynched their slave when they got home?
Liberals need to call out injustice wherever it occurs in the world, under whatever religion. That includes Islam. It also, of course, includes Christianity, Judaism, and anywhere else. And what Bill Maher's point was that I take, that I agree with, is that I think sometimes liberals, in the name of multiculturalism, are less likely to condemn intolerance in the Muslim world than they are in the Christian world. And that's where I agree with him.
Okay. Well, I hear you, but that's what ISIS wants. ISIS wants us to hate Islam and the people in it, because then the people in those countries will go with ISIS against us. And then we're screwed, my friend. Kiss your ass goodbye. All right, Mark, I love you. Mark Levine, I'm Leslie Marshall. Follow him at Mark Levine Talk.